We're talking on post-harvest and processing technologies. This presentation will focus mainly on how we are going to do business in terms of deploying post-harvest and processing technologies on that tab. I'm sure most of you here are aware of some of these technologies I'll be showing, and you have a good idea about them. So I'll not talk about the science behind the technologies, but I'll move directly to present on how we will move ahead. So my outline of presentation, I'll talk the highlights of the task for post-harvest and processing given to us under TAB. And then I'll talk on post-harvest and processing technologies earmarked under TAB. The strategies to ensure fairness and cost effectiveness of deploying post-harvest and processing technologies. And promotion of technologies, high quality rice and rice-based products for market. And then I'll give highlights of expected outcomes of TAB post-harvest and processing technology deployment. Why do I go through this presenter's outline? Because most of you sitting here, and some of you sitting here, will be those who will be implementing them. So, and you either will be contacted as or consulted as a private supplier of rice, of equipment, of rice-based products, or rice byproducts. So you are a potential competitor in supplying these technologies or making them available to the market. What is our task under TAB? It's post-harvest and processing. We have in the TAB document, it's on A3.4. That's upscaling of proven rice in enhancement technologies and innovation. And we have three tasks. The first task is procurement and demonstration of equipment. So we need to procure and demonstrate this equipment. So if you get a task to procure equipment, you must demonstrate this equipment. Secondly, fabrication of equipment and installation of germ parboiler, germ parboiling facility, and acid thresher. And then the last will be the promotion of technologies, high-quality rice, and rice-based products for market. So if you get to promote those technologies, this is you need to show us clearly that you have the capacity to do that. The first technology is, I will start in as the value chain flows, and I will start with the acid thresher. Here, this is under, I put it here, task 4.2. 3.42, that's fabrication and installation of a 1 to 1.5 ton per hectare acid thresher. And I give the capacities. We have this is the acid thresher. This is what we have here. But modifications can take place during fabrication to suit the local conditions. But we need that thresher to have a capacity of 1 to 1.5 tons per hectare and engine power of 18 to 24 horsepower, can be diesel, mostly diesel, should be diesel. The dimensions, I've mentioned them, the weight, the cabin material should be mild steel of about 2 mm, and then it should be tricycle driven, and finally it should have a grain loss. So we'll measure the grain losses during threshing of less than 1.5%. And what we expect to have is we're proposing to have this technology. One in Benin, that's the first year. In Benin, one for Cote d'Ivoire, two for Nigeria, and one for Cameroon. The next technology is a rice milling component. This rice milling component is a paddy cleaner. And this picture comes from TCMS. I want to give credit for that because he sent that picture to me. And the mild steel, it's the chassis should be it's made of mild steel of 20 millimeters of thickness, should either run an electric or diesel motor. Why? Because there are some sites across Africa where we don't have electricity. So where, if the supplier, if the requester will ask for electric, we will supply that electric motor. If it's in the area where there's no electricity, then we must supply this equipment with a diesel engine. The screens inside here must be made of stainless steel with pore sizes of 5 to 3.5. But I'd rather say here that the pore size depends on the variety. We would look at the grain dimensions of the most popular variety to determine the screen pore sizes. And then there should be three channels of evacuation. So have a channel for evacuating rubbish, have a channel for evacuating paddy, and a channel for evacuating ground or dust particles and sand. So we're looking to deploy it in Benin, Cote d'Ivoire, Nigeria, Mali, and Cameroon, one each. The next equipment is the jump parboiler. And this jump parboiler is a component of a technology, it's a component of equipment that we bring together. We have the soaking tank with the characteristics. So it's a whole kit. The jump parboiler is a whole kit of equipment. So we have the soaking tank of one. We have one soaking tank. We have two steamers, all of made of stainless steel. And I've given the kind of steel material. The dimensions I've also provided. The soaking basket, also made of stainless steel. Here, specified is Inox 316L, which is for house cooking, for cooking processes. We need a lifting device. And here we are proposing a rail and hoist chain system of 3 meters, 2 per side. A rice husk gasifier stove. There should be 2 of them. This is an example here. We also have time to see this in the field when we do our field visit. So we also have time to see them. We have a wood stove. I also want to have a wood stove. So it's a clone. We have a clone system where we have both a wood stove and a gasifier. The gasifier could serve for the soaking process, while the wood stove will serve for the steaming process, or vice versa, depending on the season sometimes. And the last under that, we have tarpaulins. Here we will not be constructing drying surface because the budget is limiting. And we have tarpaulins. The dimensions of the tarpaulins are there, quite clear. We need 3 per kit. And then we have protective clothing. As you can see, these women, they have protective clothing on them. We have 30 each. And so we are planning to have one system in Benin, 2 in Cote d'Ivoire, 2 in Nigeria, 1 in Mali, and 1 in Cameroon. And it should have a capacity of 500 to 700 kilograms per day for the jump parboiler. Now here, this is another equipment. This is the milling component, which is the husker and polisher. This husker and polisher should run either on electric or diesel motor, depending on the request of the users. Because we'll discuss with the users, and then the users tell us that no, we will need an electric motor, we will send them an electric motor. If they say we need a diesel motor, then that's what we'll give to them. Capacity of 500 to 750 kilograms per day. Sorry. The parts, the polisher and the screen must be stainless steel. And it should produce separate husk and brand. The equipment should come with spare parts. This responds to the issue of spare parts. So at the time of purchasing the equipment, they should come with spare parts. I need 10 rubber roll spare parts, 10 screens spare parts, and then the Husqvarna belt and the milling roller. So these are spare parts that should come with the equipment so that they can stay even for about 5 years of before you can think of, you know, making major repairs. And this equipment is the rice grader. The rice grader, again, this can fabricate locally. And she has a chassis of mild steel 2 mm thickness. This 2 mm thickness, 20 millimeters. This is 2 mm, please. Not 20. 20 is 2. I'm sorry. This is 2 mm. Okay, the motor should be 1 horsepower. The screen should be stainless steel of spore size of 3, 2.5 and 1.7 and have 4 channels of evacuation. We will supply 1 for Benin, 1 for Cote d'Ivoire, 1 Nigeria, 1 in Mali, and 1 for Cameroon. These are proposals. These are proposals based on our diagnostic survey that we did. This equipment is a little bit new, and this is the it's also a milling component. It's a color sorter. I have provided the characteristics here. I'll not go to read all of these characteristics. But what is very important here is that this color sorter should have elevators, 2 elevators, and should be able to separate, should be able to do separation twice. So it should run, do the sorting, and then rerun it again to be sure that the sorting is proper. And we'll be ordering 3. So for those who are interested, we'll be sending the characteristics so that you can look clearly on the characteristics. We'll be putting 1 in Benin, 1 in Cote d'Ivoire, and 1 in Nigeria. So what is our strategy for to ensure fairness and cost effectiveness so that we are spending money cost effectively, and also the competition for those who are going to supply the equipment should be fair? Africa Rice Procurement Unit will handle all transactions related to selection of in-country suppliers. Quotations will be accepted from suppliers that have the legal right to operate in countries where the equipment will be installed. Suppliers must show proof that they have previously supplied the installed equipment. This is for imported equipment, if you want to import an equipment. Africa Rice and relevant partners will supervise. When I say relevant partners, I mean here our NAS partners. They will supervise first-time installation under this project. The procurement of equipment and labor needed for installation will be handled by the selected supplier. And finally, subsequent supply and installation of the equipment by selected supplier will be controlled for conformity with quality standards by Africa Rice before payments. I think the same thing goes for locally fabricated equipment, except that for locally fabricated equipment, we are going to also, it will open also for those who have not fabricated this equipment before, or those who have not received training before. We also open the competition to them so that we can increase the pool of local fabricators. And the last task that we have is promotion of technologies, high quality rice and rice based products for market. What we're going to do is, I'll give credit to the IP in Glasgow. This is their package. And we will support private sector package design, labeling, and branding of the products. This package was designed by Africa Rice. And we did everything, worked with the IP, and then we gave them design, and then they move ahead to produce their package. Same thing we'll do under TAR. We'll do product promotional events like supporting trade fairs, supporting TV, radio, communication, and blog on the products. We'll do field exchanges. We encourage exchange visits between private sectors, between groups, between IPs for exchange experiences and knowledge with each other. And this slide will talk, I'll just talk briefly on expected outcomes of TAD post-harvest and processing technology deployment. And this slide is very important because when we are getting involved in either, if you want to say, I want to produce parboiled rice, and you are asking TAD to support you in getting germ parboiling technology, for example, you must clearly show us what quantity of rice you are going to produce, how you are going to get your paddy. This must be clear for us to support that initiative. If you say, I want to produce germ parboilers for X groups, you must show us clear evidence that those groups are ready to pay for those equipment. Then we can support. So what do we expect from as outcomes? First, we expect increased incomes and employment. You show us that, for example, at least 9,000 actors, that is parboilers, millers, and traders. That's 30,000, this is 90,000 actors. Parboilers, millers, and traders, averaging 30,000 per country at the end of year two, okay, should benefit from improved sorting equipment. So where we install a sorting equipment, we should be able to show that that sorting system is benefiting this amount of people. Given that, and the assumption is that the system is producing, because that system that I showed you is able to sort 3 tons per hour at the cost of $28.8 per ton, and the added value is $19 per ton. So if you do sorting properly, the value that you add on the rice, original rice sample, is about $19 per ton. So these are the calculations that at the end of your installation and your process, we're able to factor that out. Also, it should improve health due to improved diet of poor and vulnerable people. For example, I'm doing an example here. There are so many of them. So improved parboiling, grading, and sorting technology has generated almost 500,000 tons of good quality and nutritious rice. After having installed those systems in all those countries, we should be able to show clearly that we are able, that close to 500 tons of high quality nutritious parboiled rice has been generated. This is the assumption that 100,000 tons are being produced per country by the end of year two. And the last, not the least, is the environmental sustainability. Environmental sustainability improved. On the 12 sites that will be installing parboiling technologies, we'll either replace wood at 100%. So we'll use mainly rice husk in some sites. We'll start with wood, but we'll make a transition to use only rice husk. So in the end, we'll be parboiling solely with rice husk. And at the moment, it shows that for every ton of parboiled rice made, we are consuming 160 kilograms of wood. So in the end, we should be able to reduce deforestation if all those sites make a transition and are using rice husk as foil. So with this, these are things we have to show clearly, you know, in our execution of the task. That is all I had prepared for you. Thank you very much.